We'll go back on the web now, and Ms. Moore, you may resume.
Thank you, Ms. Wiest. Mr. Conwell, we've been talking about allocation of costs, and just so I'm clear, I'll try to be a little more specific in my question, but if I understand you correctly, if Altel never terminates a call to a particular wire center, and let's continue using West River as an example, if Altel never terminates a call to West River, your testimony would be that Altel wouldn't have to pay for whatever portion of the network would be used to terminate that call, or for whatever portion of the switching would be used to terminate that call. Is that correct?
If Altel's customers never called West River?
If an Altel call would never be, if Altel would not terminate a call to a particular West River wire center, then Altel shouldn't have to pay for that portion of the West River network that would terminate to that wire center.
Well, that would be up to the cost study of West River. If West River has 10 exchanges, 10 central offices, then in its cost study, presumably, it will estimate the amount of terminating traffic that it anticipates at each of those exchanges, and therefore would include some costs for all those exchanges. Those costs together then would be the basis of the rate. And so in paying the rate, Altel would be paying for the cost of all of those exchanges. The cost that Altel pays, or the rate that they pay, is based on the cost study, and what's in the cost study depends on what West River estimates as where the possible terminations are.
And what I'm trying to reconcile is some of the discussion that we had this morning, wherein you indicated in your testimony that the costs that Altel should have to pay for need to be directly attributable to Altel's transport and termination. And so what I was trying to define there was whether if Altel never terminated a call to a particular wire center for West River, then if Altel doesn't have to pay for that portion of the network or that portion of the switch that would terminate to that wire center.
No, I don't think that's correct. If once a rate is determined according to the FCC rules, that rate would be levied on all telecommunications traffic, regardless of the terminating wire center. So if there was, in theory, let's say a particular wire center that Altel didn't call, but yet generated a minute, then the rate would still apply. Your hypothetical, I don't know how to... We pay an average rate that's based on the cost of terminating at any of West River's 10 exchanges, so it represents the average cost of calling any of those exchanges.
And what I was trying to clarify was I believe there was some testimony offered yesterday as well as today that if there were certain components of the switch, for example, that would never be used to terminate an Altel call, then Altel shouldn't be responsible for that. That's what I've understood Altel's position to be. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, if there's a component of the switch that is not directly attributable to termination, then that cost should not be included in the cost study that generates the rate.
And that same concept would apply to unused capacity then in your analysis, that Altel shouldn't have to pay for more than what the RLECs need?
No. In any particular network element, whether it's transport or well, let's just say transport, because that's where it mostly applies. But it could apply to any network element. You develop the investment and divide it by your projected demand. That projected demand will, on average, be less than the full capacity. So there's a pro rata share of the cost of spare capacity built into that unit cost. Altel would be paying a portion of that spare capacity cost.
Because the struggle that I'm having in understanding your testimony, and I'm going to use a non-phone analogy here, but if I look at it with regard to capacity, let's say we're going to build an apartment building, and you have the first tenant move in, you don't allocate all the costs to that tenant of the apartment building until all of the apartments are filled up, and then you need an addition. It seems to me that that allows certain people to ride for free on the network, and it seems to me that that's the argument that Altel's advancing in this particular proceeding.
No, you've defined a piece of plant, in this case an apartment building, that is exhaustible, that over time you expect that component of plant, the apartment building, to be filled up and you have to build another building. That means that additional demand, whether it's wireless or local customers or whomever, additional demand advances when the next apartment building's got to be built. So there's a usage-sensitive cost there. Now, in theory, apartment building's not a good example, but if you built such a large, if the only apartment building that you could build was one that was so large that you were never going to exhaust it, the apartment building becomes a fixed cost. And the FCC Common Carrier Bureau has determined in that case that, you know, whether you have 10 people living in the building or 20 people living in the building or five more people, there is no additional cost of the usage of the building. It is a fixed cost.
And that would be the point on which you and Ms. Vanacek disagree then in regard to what would be a fixed versus what would be a variable cost. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I can't surmise what the basis of Ms. Vanacek's theories are, but we are in disagreement on which costs are to be included in the cost study.
Sure. Do you have your direct testimony in front of you, Mr. Connell?
Yes, I do.
Can you turn to page 61, please?
51?
61, excuse me. And I'll point you specifically to lines 7 through 9, please.
Yes.
Can you please read those for the commission?
Using equivalent DS1 circuits as the measure of transport electronics demand provides a better indication of capacity consumption and cost causation than using PAS.
And what I take from that is that you're advocating that the commission employ the DS1 equivalency method for purposes of allocating the cost of transport, excuse me.
I'm sorry. Can you take that question again? I'm
sure.
Kind of a hard time hearing.
There's a little feedback.
Well, yeah.
Try it now, Meredith.
It's on.
Let me try to get this back.
Okay. Is that better? I'm not sensing anything right now. Okay.
Do you want to hear your question?
Might get a little far. Maybe you can pull the mic a little closer. The closer we can get the mic, the less high they have that volume at the control station, which I think sometimes contributes to feedback.
Fair enough.
I know absolutely nothing.
We did.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to repeat my question, Mr. Conwell. Based on the two lines of your testimony that you just read to the commission, it's my understanding that you are advocating that this commission employ the DS-1 equivalency method for purposes of allocating the cost of transport.
Yes, that's correct. When the DS-1 equivalents are computed, recognizing the cost differences between a DSO, a DS-1, and a DS-3.
Okay. Can you turn to, it would be exhibit WCC-6.3. That's also in your direct testimony, please.
I'm there.
Okay. And I believe that this particular exhibit addresses the cost of circuit interface cards. Is that fair?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And I'm assuming that these are circuit interface cards for the Sonnet transport equipment that Mr. Weber was discussing during his testimony yesterday.
These particular interface cards and their prices, and if we start speaking numbers, I think these are confidential, but at this point, these would be Altel illustrative numbers. These are not the ARLEC numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. And I am going to start speaking in general about the number, or excuse me, specifically about the numbers, so we would need to treat this as confidential.